Easter morning when I was a child was always a time of great fun and excitement. I remember those days when it rained, it was kind of a downer, but those days that it was pretty, even though it was chilly, Mom would dress us up in our pajamas and our robes, and we would put slippers on our feet, and then we would go outside into the backyard where the magical Easter bunny had left a whole lot of presents for us. Eggs that we had colored the day before, plastic eggs with candy and especially chocolate in them, stuffed animals that I always tried to avoid seeing until the very end of the hunt, until Mother would threaten to let the dog out into the backyard to get me to go and to get my new bunny rabbit and clutch it tightly to myself. It was a time of excitement. It was a time of fun. Unfortunately, we never got to eat all that candy immediately. No, because we had to go inside and take a bath and get ready to go to church. Oh, boo hiss. Why did we have to ruin Easter morning with church? Oh, but, you know, we got dressed up in our best Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and we went outside, we took pictures of us with our Easter baskets, and then we had to put it back in the house as we went and got in the car and headed off to church. A time of worship, a time of celebration, and once we got there, I was always happy to be there. It was exciting, it was fun, it was different than normal Sundays. You got to see a whole lot more people than you normally got to see. Amen, sister, yes. It was a time of excitement. The message was exciting. The music was exciting. The flowers were pretty. Everybody had on wonderful clothes, and it was so great. I loved Easter morning as a child. It's excitement. And then, as the service would begin, one of the oldest proclamations of the Christian faith would be shouted out loud, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." And the congregation would then shout out in response, "The Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah." This is one of the oldest professions of faith of the church. We find it recorded in the words of Justin Martyr going all the way back to the early second century. We find it recorded in the words of Eusebius, another church father, also writing in the second century, that the early church and its affirmation, and all the way down to today, here in the 21st century, we proclaim Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah. It's what we do, it's what we proclaim. It is an affirmation of faith on the part of the church. I can remember standing up on the pew so I could be a little taller next to Mom, and when they would cry out, "Christ is risen," we would proclaim, "The Lord is risen indeed." That was so much fun. Let's do that together. I will say, "Christ is risen," and you're invited to respond, "The Lord is risen indeed." Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Amen and amen. And amen. But do we believe it?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
If we do, then why isn't it reflected in our lives more clearly? Do we live as if these words are true, or are we still behaving as if Jesus were dead? Are we like Mary Magdalene, still walking in darkness, in gloom of Good Friday and Holy Saturday, on our way to the tomb to prepare the body with spices for its desiccation? Are we blinded in our tears, in our pain, in our fears, in our dread? Do we live as if Jesus is still dead? That is what the world would have us do. That is how the world would have us live. As if the Lord of light, murdered on a cross, were still dead. It's what those bombings in Sri Lanka would have us do. It's how fires of churches here in the States would have us live. It's how the polarization of our society would have us comport ourselves as if Jesus were still dead. Coming on Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene's words haunt us. They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Seeing the empty tomb didn't convince her that Jesus was alive. She still thought he was dead. Her inability to recognize Jesus when she first saw him in the garden is an even further challenge to us. It's not that she was unaware of spiritual realities. She had seen and spoken with the angels there in the tomb. It didn't seem to faze her at all to carry on a conversation with angels. She was aware of spiritual realities, but in her tears, in her pain, in her loss, she simply didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener, the person who took care of that garden. Oh, my friends, are we blinded by our tears, our pain, our loss, our dread? The pain, the loss, the tears of life can weigh on us heavily. So much so that it makes it almost impossible for us to see the risen Christ in our midst, the risen Christ in our neighbor, the risen Christ in on the stranger. And yet the affirmation of the church, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, is one that we proclaim by faith. Do we see it in our living? Do we see it in how we treat the stranger and our neighbor, or even our family members? Does the affirmation, the Lord is risen indeed, change us? Is the risen Christ living within us, seen by others? That is the challenge, my sisters and my brothers. The challenge is to so live our lives, so speak our words, so behave towards others, that others will look and see and know the truth of the affirmation, he is risen indeed. Is he risen in your life? Is he risen in our lives? And will others see and know him in us? The disciples were changed. Every single one of them was transformed by experiencing the risen Christ. Peter went from being a denier, having denied Christ three times, and impetuous, putting left foot and mouth at the earliest opportunity, to being a strong, stalwart defender of the faith. Thomas went from a doubter to a person who had faith. My brothers and sisters, do we see change in us? Mary Magdalene, in her life with Jesus, had gone from being possessed by demons to being delivered, to becoming the greatest apostle of the church. She was the first evangelist, the first to proclaim Jesus in her run from the garden to the disciples. As she made that trip, she was the church. And she went and proclaimed to those men in that room that she had seen the Lord. And it's because of her faith, seeing through her tears, seeing beyond her pain, seeing beyond her loss, that the church came to be, that disciples came to faith, and that we hear the message today. Allow Jesus to pierce through the tears, pierce through the pain, pierce through the loss, pierce through this life, and touch your heart too today. allow the risen Christ, the Son of God, in our presence to so mold and shape you that you will know and be able to share with all that wonderful good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, on this Easter Sunday, tomorrow, all next week, next Sunday, the following weeks and months, the rest of this year, take every opportunity to allow the affirmation He is risen indeed to come not just out of your lips, but out of your hands and feet in every aspect of your living. Allow Christ Jesus to live and work through you, transforming you and transforming this broken, hurting, longing world, a world longing for the love of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us profess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all mercy, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In your prayer.